The difference between God's favor and God's wrath, between the relationship we have with God, whether it be one of respect and mutual desire, or whether God be very disappointed in us, comes down to one word, and it's the word faith. Faith is what makes man righteous. Faith is what makes man worthy of eternal life. Faith is what makes man pleasing in the eyes of God. And so, as we begin our lesson this morning, how do you feel about your faith? How do we feel about the way that we are manifesting that faith? And how do we feel about our relationship with God based on the commitment, the convictions that we have in Him? We want to begin our lesson this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This verse is very profound, and yet it's so simple, very difficult sometimes for us to grasp. If I were to ask you, what does it mean, the substance of things hoped for? And if I were to ask you how God takes the substance of things hoped for in our minds and translates that into righteousness, and do we have enough of this substance of things hoped for within our mind? In another translation, instead of substance, it has assurance, and instead of evidence, it has conviction. And of course, this is looking at the word from two different perspectives. The substance is what has to be in our mind in order for us to have the assurance, and the evidence has to be in our mind in order for us to have the conviction. And so it's taking the word from its beginning to its end, and I really appreciate the two distinctions here because it helps us to see and maybe to understand where we are in that progression. Substance means we understand those things that God has prepared and laid forth for us in order so that we can have assurance. And evidence are those things that God has placed within His Word and within the material creation so that we can have that conviction. And so how much conviction and assurance we have is going to be based on the substance and the evidence. Now, there's so much here that this morning we're only going to look at the first part. We're only going to consider the faith is the substance of things hoped for, and faith is the assurance of things not seen. What do these things mean? What does it mean to us? As you read that verse, I mean, we've read this verse so many times, but what emotional effect does it have on us? What sense of well-being, what sense of commitment and confidence does it create within us? The Greek word substance, and I won't bother you with the details of the word, except to say this. It originally meant that which stands under. So it's what we walk on. It's a foundation that we build a house on. It's the roots that the tree comes forth from the ground with. And so the word means that which stands under, which then came to be the basis. What's the basis of your understanding here? What is the basis for that conclusion? What is the basis for your feelings about this matter? Then it moves to foundation, support, guarantee, possession, and then existence and deposit, which again takes us from what it creates into what it becomes. As you look at that and think about that, the basis of support that we have, I'm going to heaven. What's your basis and support for that statement? I'm right with God. What's the basis and support for that statement? I believe that God looks upon me with favor. Well, what's the basis and the support? Now, we understand that faith is the basis and the support, but Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, here's where the rubber hits the road. The greater the guarantee, The greater the basis, the greater the support, the stronger our sense of possession. Paul knew he was going to heaven. So did Peter. Do we know? Do we have that guarantee? Do we really and truly believe that? Because the greater the guarantee and the greater possession, the more we're going to sacrifice. And the more we're going to be able to bear. And the more we're going to be able to do for the Lord. Let's talk a little bit about the parable of the investor, because this is where this term takes us. The greater the assurance that somebody has that this is going to work out well, whether it's a stock market, whether it's a land speculator, whether it's a treasure hunter, or even people who go to garage sales, the more convinced we are that we're going to benefit from this, the more convinced we are, the more evidence we have, the more assessments that we have made that these things are going to work out well, then we're going to make the decision to invest in it. Now, what's your investment in Christianity? Is it 100%? Is it 50%? Is it 25%? If we were to honestly say that Christianity, the relationship I have with God, is 100% of my life, there is nothing else. It's all about God. And I see God everywhere I go, and I see His Word guiding and directing me. It's the basis upon which my life unfolds and my life revolves. Now, some people would understand that statement, and other people would say, I understand that you're saying that, but I can't really agree with it, or I can't really say I fully understand it because I don't have it. And I think that's the biggest problem with that first statement. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But what substance do you have? What substance? Peter's going to ask us, and I'll deal with this verse in just a minute. Ready to give the reason for the hope, or ready to give the defense for the hope that is in you. What is our defense? What defense do we have? When we want to give someone the reason for our hope, what reasons can we offer? And as we look at the assurance that we have, it's going to be based on conviction. Conviction based on evidences, conviction based on our trust in God, and our looking at, as we noted last week, all of the elders who have already lived before us. Here's the substance of things hoped for. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, this is what the substance of things hoped for will do for us. Now, we'll talk about the evidence of things not seen next week. What we're talking about now is the assurance, the embracing, and the confessing that leads us to say, I'm seeking a homeland from God. This world is not my home. Now, we can sing that song and we can say that statement, but is it really true, brethren? Can you honestly say that this world, I'm really living for the next life? I'm sacrificing for the next life. The decisions that are being made day by day are not based on what is going to happen here. It's based on what's going to happen in eternity. Now, the further we go in that, the more devout and the more consecrated that we're going to be. The less the more we hold back, and we want to enjoy the things of this life, and we want to make sacrifices of eternity in order to get things that are in this life. Well, those are the decisions, and those decisions determine how much substance we really have. I mean, we can say, I really have a lot of substance in my mind. I have assurance, I have reasons, I have commitments. But then you look at their life, and their life shows they don't have that substance. Now, what we can see on the outside, you can see on the inside, and God can see on the inside. And the real question for each one of us comes down to this: Do we love the Lord enough to die for Him? Do we love the Lord enough to sacrifice for Him? And of course, those are easy things to say. Do we love the Lord enough not to forsake the assembly? Do we love the Lord enough to pray without ceasing? Do we love the Lord enough? Do we have enough substance and conviction and commitment that we're truly sacrificing in our giving? And that we are truly singing and making melody in our hearts? And that we are truly seeking, as Paul put it in 2 Corinthians, we see the glory of God in the Scriptures, and we're being transformed into that same image. Now, that's what the substance of things hoped for will do. Again, looking at, and again, Hebrews 11, 13 to 14 takes in Abel and Enoch and Noah, takes in Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob. They all died in faith, not having received the promises. They never had any tangible, anything to grasp as far as the truth of these promises, except for one thing. They died in faith. Faith gave them the substance, the assurance that caused them to make the sacrifices they made. If we're not making any sacrifices in our time, in our relationships with other people, in our money, in our decisions regarding getting ahead in life or making some things in this life, if we're not making any of those decisions, then our faith is not, well, how did James put it? Faith without works is barren and dead. So we can say we have faith. But these people were assured, embraced, and confessed. Are we assured? Do we embrace? Do we confess? Is our relationship to God 100% through and through, with no doubts and with no lapses? These people were strangers and pilgrims. And those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Brethren, this is the battle that every person faces. Today, we love the Lord. We're committed to the Lord. But what about tomorrow? Do we stay the course? As Paul said, I finished the course, kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of life. If they had called to mind, if Paul had called to mind the country from which he had left, he would have had an opportunity to return. Judas did call to mind the country from which he had left, and he had an opportunity to return. Solomon had an opportunity to return. But these people did not. They desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. The substance of the things they hoped for, the evidence, the things they walked on day after day, it didn't collapse on them because it was powerful. It created desire, and we go back here, assured, embraced, confessed, and desired. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. Now, is that how we see it? I mean, in all honesty and in all integrity, can we honestly say that my wealth comes from the sacrifices I make from God? That it is greater riches for me to sacrifice for the Lord than for me to gain the whole world and lose my soul? Is it greater riches to me to commit myself to the Lord, even though I'm giving up pleasures in this life and I'm giving up financial gain, maybe the lust of the flesh that I enjoy so much? But here's the critical point. Moses didn't have any choice. Just like we don't have any choice, if the substance of things hoped for becomes strong enough in our minds, then choices are taken away. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. I just mean that I don't have to make a choice every time I'm faced with a temptation. I don't have to make a choice. I'm already committed, like Paul said. My choice was made when I suffered the loss of all things, and as far as I'm concerned, they're refuse so that I can gain Christ. That's the substance of things hoped for. That's what it does for us. And once that happens, we become a different person. We become just like Moses, just like Noah, just like Abel, just like Enoch, just like, and we could just go through the list here. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. Why? Because of the substance of things hoped for. In other words, he looked at God's promise, and because he knew it was true, it changed his life. And you know, Moses became the most faithful man in that entire generation, and this is why. And that's how simple it is. The simple beginnings of a committed life start right here. They start with the substance of things hoped for. We have to have motivation. Just like your car won't run without gasoline, your spiritual life will not run without hope, without the substance of things hoped for. The greater the substance, the greater the assurance, the greater the commitment, and the greater the sacrifices that will be made. And one of the things that we see throughout the book of Hebrews, especially in chapter 11, is that faith caused these people to become the children of God. Now, what about our reasons? How would you defend? Well, how do you defend? The next time you're being tempted to sin, what defenses are you going to give not to give in to that sin? What defenses do we have? I'm going to lose my soul. I'm going to destroy my relationship with God. I'm going to miss out on going to heaven. What is it that we fight back with? What is it that we use when we want to change our commitment, if we are tempted to change that commitment? If we get an opportunity at work to take a promotion or to get more money by sacrificing something that God would be very disappointed with, what reason are we going to give? What defense do we have against our own mind? As we struggle with the temptations and trials, especially in our culture, with the desire for other things, the hope of riches, the pleasures of life, these things, we have to have a defense. I can't do this today because I've got to go serve God. I've got to go talk to my brother. Or I've got to go visit with someone. Or I need to read the Bible. Or I need to pray. Or I don't have time for this because I have to prepare for the Bible class, or I have to attend services tonight. What reasons do we give if it's even a struggle? Now again, for most of it's not a struggle because the substance is so powerful that these decisions were made decades ago. And we're just, I don't want to use the word idling, but we're simply going through what we originally decided. That's what Moses did. I don't think Moses was tempted every day to go back to Egypt. I think that decision was made while he was in Egypt. He never looked back. I don't think Paul had to struggle day by day with his relationship with God. He made that decision. He never looked back. And so what about us? What reasons can we give? What is the basis, the foundation, the support, the guarantee that has led us to make that deposit? And do we regret it? Or do we pull it back sometimes? Sometimes people deposit their soul to a faithful creator and then they take it back and they begin to do what they want to do again. Now, God's very interested in this. So, do we really do these things? Do we count our many blessings and name them one by one? We just finished partaking of the Lord's Supper. And every blessing we have is based on that sacrifice that Jesus made. His sacrifice has been the motivation for millions of people to rise above themselves and give God the glory and give God the sacrifices that he so richly deserves. Can we describe the more abundant life? Jesus said, I came that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. We have better marriages. We have better family relationships. We have better success in our business relationship. Why? Because we follow God and we trust God and we trust that His Word is going to give us better outcomes. That's the substance of things hoped for. That's what our conviction leads us to. And brethren, as I say, it's not a battle at all. It's a commitment. It's a conviction. Do we really believe our godliness has promise of the life that now is and the one that is to come? That we don't have any regrets. We don't have anything to look back on and be disappointed because we've done it God's way. Sometimes I remember when I was home last a few weeks ago. Every time I go home, a lot of memory. Every place I go, and I'm sure you've done this if you've grown up in a certain place and you go back to it. And I went by a specific place, and I just felt this sense. I think it was the high school. I looked at the high school, and I just felt this sense of loss. And it was really, and then I thought to myself, what would you go back and change? I mean, look where you are. Look at the wife you have and the family you have and the relationships you have and your relationship with God. What would you want to go back and change? And the answer came back, nothing. Nothing. Because we believe that we chose the more abundant life, that our godliness has promise of life that now is and the one that is to come. And when we feel those feelings of regret, we fight back with the substance of things hoped for. That's the theme of the book of Romans. The theme of the book of Romans is the substance of things hoped for. And let's start with Paul's statement here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Now, that was the substance of Paul's hope. That was the basis. That's what he walked on. That's what he was committed to and convicted to. And so it created this response of, I'm proud of the gospel. I'm proud of my decisions. Even if everyone else looks down upon them, as they did in the days of Noah, as they did in the days of Lot. And yet, those two individuals felt that their hope of being right with God, their hope of eternal life, their hope of forgiveness and mercy and salvation, those hopes were the substance that created within them a commitment that they didn't even have to work at. Job didn't have to work at being a righteous and blameless man because he already had the motivations, and that's what he walked on. And day by day, every decision had already been made because of his substance. In other words, the things in his mind and in his heart that were leading him to do that. And that's what Paul says there in verse 16. But not just for himself. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Now, verse 17 is the theme of the book of Romans. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is the biggest substance of all, brethren. Our relationship with God. Our salvation, our righteousness, our holiness, our consecration are all based on the substance of the things hoped for. It's all based on our faith. It's all based on the changes that we make because of something that we don't see. And we'll talk more about this next week because these are things that have caused people to make these big sacrifices. But verse 17 shows us the value of faith. Faith is what makes us righteous. In the gospel, let's look at verse 17 just for a minute. For in it, in what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and salvation. Why? Because in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. How God makes man righteous is revealed from faith or by faith or from the source of faith unto the creation of faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. In other words, the entire purpose of the gospel is to create faith. And that faith is going to move us to become righteous. Now, let's look at the expanded theme here. In chapter 1, chapter 3, verses 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. Righteousness means that God looks at me like he did Job. Righteousness means that God looks at me like he did Abraham. Righteousness means that God sees me as his son or his daughter, that God sees me as a good person, he sees me as the best I can possibly be. Now, how does God see me like that? Well, the righteousness of God, which is God's righteousness that he gives to us, is not from the law, but it is from or through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, here's the conclusion of the first three chapters. Now, we know the first three chapters of Romans. The first chapter has to do with those who knew God and didn't give God the glory and descended into sin. Chapter 2, all the Jews fell short of God's glory. Chapter 3, people who think that they're righteous are still committing sin. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Why? Because the deeds of the law could never justify anyone and never did. So God found a better way. God found a way that he could save us based on the substance of things hoped for. And that's why it's so important that we know what it is and that we have it. There's nothing, I mean, gold. And Peter even equates that. He talks about faith being more precious than gold. There's no substance on the earth that has more value than the substance of things hoped for, which is our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. They're equivalent terms. If I talk about the substance of things hoped for, I'm talking about faith. If I'm talking about faith, I'm talking about the substance of things hoped for. Paul says, we conclude that a man is justified by the substance of things hoped for. By the things in his heart that he has used to conclude, like Moses, that the treasures of Christ have more value than the treasures of America, or in his case, the treasures of Egypt. And what's Paul's conclusion? That's what a man is justified by. A man is justified by the substance of things hoped for. Therefore, it's the most important thing in our life. And we need to take the time, we need to do an inventory. It'd be a good idea for you this week to do an inventory. Why am I a Christian? Why do I repent of every sin? Why do I never forsake the assembly? Why do I pray every day? Why do I read the Bible? Why do I preach the gospel to the lost? And of course, we may come up with a conclusion, I'm not doing all those things. And why am I not doing all of those? Or maybe we're doing those things, but we'd like to do them better. Well, it all comes back to this substance of things hoped for. It was the substance of things hoped for that caused Abel to offer that better sacrifice. Many of us are so concerned about doing things God's way that we couldn't dream of doing some of the things that people in the denominations are doing. That's because of the substance of things hoped for that we have placed within our own heart based on the scriptures. Remember, faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, comes by hearing the word of God and responding properly to the word of God. We are justified by the substance of things hoped for that leads us to make these choices. But it's not the choices, brethren. People can make those same choices without faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. That's what God is looking for. It is the substance of things hoped for that caused God to say, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. And I've prepared a city for them. Why? Because they embraced the promises of God. They were assured of them. They led them to say, I don't belong here. I want to be with God. I want to be what God wants me to be. Well, what's that all based on? I mean, it's not sheer grit and determination. It is placing a certain substance in your heart. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, once we have that, we're justified. We're justified by the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse 30. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, and he will justify the circumcision through the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's the common denominator. It didn't matter whether you offered a better sacrifice or built an ark. It didn't matter whether you left your country and offered your son. It didn't matter if you forsook Egypt and suffered the loss of all things. It didn't matter what the reason was. Whether you were tortured or cut in two, or whether you were the person who went about in sheepskins and goatskins. Why? Because of the substance of things hoped for. In other words, those reasons within our heart, that's what God is looking at. And those are the things that are going to come out in our personal life. But whether they come out or not, it's what's going on in here that makes us right with God. So, verse 30, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by their faith and the uncircumcised through their faith, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's the commodity, the single most important commodity in our lives. How do we get it? We get it by giving a defense for the reasons that are in us. We get it from the Word of God. We get it from the proper response to the desires that Scripture has been crafted to give us. The desire to be right with God. The desire to have a good conscience. The desire to be with God in eternity. The desire to be a good mother and a good father, to be a good husband and to be a good wife. The desire to be what God created us to be. It's the desire that creates the substance of things hoped for, and that's what God uses to make us righteous. Now, once we understand that, then that becomes more important than silver and gold. Becomes more important than the pleasures of life and the desires for other things. Knowing why we want to be with God in heaven and knowing why our relationship with God is the most important thing in our life, that's what's going to make us righteous. And that's why it's such a critical thing. Well, Abraham confirms this theme. We say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. It wasn't leaving his country. It wasn't offering his son. It wasn't being faithful. What was it? It was the evidence of things not seen. It was the substance of things hoped for. That's what was in Abraham's heart. And as I say, whether Abraham was Moses or whether Abraham was Abel or whether Abraham was Noah, the outcome would have been the same, because the common denominator was not building an ark or leaving the country or forsaking Egypt. The common denominator was the substance of things hoped for. When God sees that in a heart, he makes us righteous. Because when that's in our heart, we're going to take a certain course of conduct, regardless of what temptations come, and regardless what our life unfolds to be, whether it's a Job, or whether it's a Daniel, or whether it's an Ezekiel, or whether it's a Peter, it doesn't make any difference. The common denominator of righteousness, whether circumcised or uncircumcised, is the substance of things hoped for. Because that's the definition of faith. I mean, just substitute it. In Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. They're two different things. And they create two different motivations in the heart, which all intersect into the same thing. So we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. It was the substance of things hoped for. The embracing, the desire, the statement that I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim here. Verse 13, for the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith, through the righteousness of the substance of things hoped for, through the righteousness that God gives to each individual who has that substance in their heart, that desire that embraces and confesses, I don't belong here. Verse 17, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but of those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, those people under the law, we talked about this in our Bible class. What was the difference between Moses and everyone else that came out of Egypt? They all had the same law. And it wasn't that Moses kept the law any better than the children of Israel, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What was the commodity that made Moses so different from these other people? What was the commodity that caused Moses to be faithful to God his entire life? It was the substance of things hoped for that caused him to forsake Egypt. And it was the substance of things hoped for that made him the meekest man in all the earth. And it was the substance of things hoped for that caused God to choose him to be the deliverer. And it was the substance of things hoped for that caused God to choose Job, or to choose Abraham, or to choose whoever he chose. For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham through, or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Therefore, it is of faith. It is of the substance of things hoped for, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be certain and established and sure and fixed to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Here's how it works in the heart. Now, you can put whatever you want to in here. Put yourself in here. Put yourself and your decisions in here. This is what Abraham went through. Abraham was told he was going to have a son when he was 100 and his wife was 90. And this is what the substance of things hoped for did for him. Now, it can be the same thing if I'm in a situation where my boss has just asked me to do something that is wrong, and I have to decide whether to risk my job or risk my relationship with God. Without being weak in the substance of things hoped for, he didn't even look. The physical things didn't even matter to Abraham, and they shouldn't matter to us as well. Whatever consequences come, whatever hindrances there are, our commitment, our conviction to God, our substance of things hoped for is so solid that just like Abraham, you don't even look at the hindrances. Yes, his body was as good as dead. Absolutely. There's no way he could have a son. But the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen caused Abraham to not even look at that. He was a stranger. He was a pilgrim. He had embraced the promises of God. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And this little minor hindrance in his life had no effect whatsoever. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, through a lack of the substance of things hoped for, through a lack of the evidence of things not seen. He did not waver. Verse 21, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That's how Jesus felt. That's how Paul felt. That's how Job felt, and that's how, you just go through the litany, and that's how we have to feel. This is the substance, this is the commodity that's more precious than gold. And we either have it or we don't. Now, we can get it. Jesus told the people who were blind that they could buy it from him. They could buy the eye salve, they could buy the garment, because God has the ability to make us all like Abraham here. And that's what the gospel is able to produce in us if we simply read it and we believe it and we allow it to do its work. Verse 21, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That's what was accounted to him for righteousness. Not the giving of birth. The battle in the mind when God made a promise, and he believed it, and he never doubted it. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. That's why Hebrews 11 is in there. Because if you look in chapter 12, therefore, since we are compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, that the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen are the greatest commodity that we can develop and we can buy. We buy it by hearing the Word of God. We buy it by putting our full confidence and assurance in what God has promised. Verse 24, for us it shall be imputed who believe in Him who raised up Jesus from our Lord from the dead. My conviction and your conviction that God raised Jesus from the dead is just as important to God as Abraham's conviction that he was going to have a son after God said. It's God's word that we are looking at. Doesn't matter what it is that we're to believe. Abraham had things he was to believe. Job had things he was to believe. David had things he was to believe. When David stood before Goliath, he had the same substance of things hoped for that we do, but a different reason. I don't stand before Goliath. I stand before my own fleshly lusts and desires to conquer them. But it's the same commodity that gives me the power to understand these things are vile, they're filthy, and I'm going to destroy them from my life. Just like Abraham never wavered that he was going to have a son, we'll never waver that these things are vile and disgusting and we could never go back into them. Never. And we believe that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and that we're going to be raised from the dead, and we never doubt that. And it never enters our mind that these things aren't going to happen. Why? Because of the substance of things hoped for. Now, if you're saying in your mind, well, I don't do that, well, then you don't have that substance. Call it what you will. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. His final conclusion, therefore, having been justified by the substance of things hoped for, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we feel that peace, we're still sinners. We still fall short of God's glory. We have peace. Why? Because of the substance of things hoped for. Now, we don't waver with that. Now, if we're wavering with that, then we need to read 1 John chapter 1 and keep studying that verse until we understand that even though we occasionally sin, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So we have to make this choice. Now here's the verse in context. I just read one verse and we're just about done. I think this might be the last slide. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I hope this lesson has really helped us to understand that. That by it, by what? The substance of things hoped for, the elders obtained a good testimony. You see, that's the only common denominator of all God's people from Abel until the end of time. The one common denominator is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, what's going on in that person's head? They embraced. They said, we are strangers and pilgrims. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're looking for the country that God has promised. And that's why God is not ashamed to be called their God. And so we have to be or have the same substance of things hoped for that they did. And that's all God's looking for. That's the single common denominator that gave those people a good testimony. And it is the single common denominator that makes us not of those who draw back to perdition. Regardless of the temptation, regardless of the tribulation, regardless of the problems that ensue, those with the substance of things hoped for are always going to make the same decision. Come what may, I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to add to His word. I'm not going to take from His word. I'm going to put Him first. I don't belong here. This is God's world. God has promised something better for me. And so, we have to make that decision. And you can make that decision this morning. As you look at your life, are you shrinking back into perdition? Destruction? Are we slowly going back to what we were? Or do we have faith to the saving of the soul? And so, as we conclude this lesson, do you have that substance in your heart? Are we wavering? Are we strangers and pilgrims here or not? Are we fully committed to God? Are we God's children? Are we like Job and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and all those people? Do we have the same substance in our heart? Do we make the same decisions that they made? That's how God justifies man. It's how he justified man from Abel, and it will be how he will justify us. It's all there is. The substance of things hoped for, the embracing, the commitment, the confession, the desire, it all comes down to that one thing. And so, brethren, as we sing the song of encouragement this morning, each one of you can ask or answer your own question. Is my commitment to God the most important thing in my life? Because of eternal life, because I know it makes my life better, because there's nothing in Christianity that doesn't enhance, and I want it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I want to serve God. And so as we sing now, as we stand and sing number 280, that's going to be the question. Have we decided? Have we made that commitment that never looks back because of the substance of things hoped for that keeps us warm and strong and mighty from beginning to end? If you need to make a change in your life, if you need to confess a sin, or if you need to be baptized into Christ, we invite you to do that while we together stand and sing.